Blog Talk Radio.
Good day and welcome to today's episode of Mediators in Action. Today I'm very excited to be able to welcome Breanne Gates and Caitlin DeWitt to our show. Both Breanne and Caitlin are qualified mediators who specialize in family support mediation. Breanne practices in southwestern Ontario and Caitlin practices here in the Durham region. Both Breanne and Caitlin have a postgraduate diploma in mediation alternative dispute resolution services from Durham College, which complements their previous education.
Thank you, Audrey. Caitlin and I are very excited to be here to share with your audience.
Yes, thank you, Audrey.
Well, it's wonderful to see both of you again. I'm so very pleased that you've agreed to take some calls from our listening audience as well. As always, we do caution our audience to seek in-person mediator advice and legal advice on any of the topics we discuss on our show. To begin, I thought we would briefly describe mediation to our listeners. Mediation is a confidential and voluntary process in which a neutral third party is retained to assist disputants in resolving issues such as workplace disputes, family matters, landlord-tenant matters, and alternative justices, to name just a few. Mediators need to have special knowledge regarding and understanding of the matters that they are mediating, regardless of the field. In some cases, mediation is court-ordered, and seeking legal counsel is always recommended and often required. Mediated agreements allow parties to make their own decisions without having decisions imposed on them by their managers, courts, or any third party. With mediation, parties have control over the process, so it is up to you to decide what kind of resolution is acceptable.
You're right, Andre. That was a great description of mediation as a whole. As noted earlier, Breanne and I both specialize in family mediation. The purpose of family mediation is to assist families during dealing with unresolved conflict to find ways to come to a mutual agreement. Family conflicts most often arise when there is significant change such as separation of parents, divorce, and the formation of blended families. These changes tend to be very stressful for everyone involved. As family mediators, it's our job to help families work through their difficult emotions to get past their positions by uncovering their underlying interests. The potential benefits of mediation include saving time and money as well as reducing the conflict between the parties. Family mediation helps remind parties that they will always be parents, and as such, they still need to maintain a business-like co-parenting relationship. The skills of family mediator, combined with the party's desire to deal with these conflicts respectfully and candidly, is what makes the mediation process so powerful, Audrey.
Thanks, Caitlin. I would also like to add that today we will be focusing on parenting plans. Parenting plans must reflect the age and stage of development and comfort level of the children and the availability of each parent. Adjustments will likely be needed as the children grow older. Depending on the level of conflict, these changes can be identified in the parenting plan.
This sounds like a very critical topic and one which all parents or parents-to-be should be thinking about. It may even help current marriages and partnerships to avoid major child-rearing issues if we consider some of the issues beforehand. Can you tell me a little bit more? You mentioned best interest of the child. What does that mean in our everyday life?
Well, best interest of the child means that in all decisions, the most important issue is the welfare and the best interest of the child with that decision made.
So when going through a separation, this focused thinking is probably very difficult. But now that they've explained how important it is, we can understand how care must be taken at all times.
Yes. We thought it would be helpful to talk about the five main topics in a parenting plan and then open up the lines for calls on more specific issues. So the five main parts that compose a parenting plan include parenting responsibilities, decision-making, communication, material change of circumstance, and parenting schedule. I thought I'd like to take this time just to explain the components of each section of the parenting plan. The first section, parenting responsibilities, covers subtopics including, for example, doctor's appointments, dentist appointments, transportation to and from extracurricular activities, and between homes. The main questions will be answered is, how will these duties be carried out? The second section, decision-making, focuses on access to information, including health, dental, or education. The process for making significant decisions and decision-making options, and lastly, significant decisions that need to be made regarding education, religion, extracurricular activities, also fall into this category. Parental communication addresses creating respectful communication guidelines regarding health, education, and scheduling activities. How, when, why, and who initiates the contact will need to be determined. The fourth section, change of circumstance, is meant to address circumstances that necessitate a change to the children's parenting arrangements. The final section, parenting schedule, is where the schedule for vacation time, school breaks,
sad holidays, and other special days are discussed. Fighting over custody does not address the important responsibilities of parenting. A more appropriate approach is to arrive at a mutually agreeable parenting plan that shares the responsibilities regardless of the choice of custodial designation.
Thank you, Brianne. That's actually a lot of things to think about. Sounds like some pretty serious issues. We're going to take some callers now, and we actually have our first caller queued up. And go ahead, I believe our first caller is Tina.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon, and thank you for taking my call. Well, me and my partner are considering a permanent separation, and one of the issues on my mind is pretty much figuring out how to split up the time with the kids, you know, specifically with holidays and vacations.
That's a great question, Tia. Determining how to fairly split holidays and determining vacation time as between parents often requires both parents to sit down and implement a schedule. The schedule must ultimately be in the best interest of the child, as said previously, while also satisfying the needs of both the parents and family. For holidays, the decision will largely depend on the type of co-parenting relationship that exists between you and your ex-partner. Some families divide holidays by alternating each holiday. It's quite common to allot one parent the even year holidays and the other the odd. However, it's good to keep in mind that alternating holidays may mean that your child and the opposite parent will have to deal with the disappointment of not enjoying the holiday together. Another option that some people use in favor is to split each holiday. This option permits both parents to spend time with the children on each holiday. For example, the kids could wake up and spend Christmas morning continuing to the afternoon with dad and the rest of the day and night with mom, rotating to the next year. Some families choose to celebrate by spending the holidays together with their children. Although this is not always practical, so please keep this in mind, but for some parents, this actually works. It's usually best to continue this way of choosing to celebrate the holidays within the first year when emotions are still a little bit high and easier to transition the children into having holidays not with mom and dad completely together in a relationship. Vacation time needs to be appropriately determined working around the schedules of each parent and the school calendar of the children. If they are of school age, the age of the children also needs to be taken into consideration when determining how long they may be absent. Perhaps in the summer months, each parent is entitled to a 4 to 7 day period for vacation. It's important that the destination and the other particulars of a vacation are appropriately shared long before the actual vacation with the opposite parent.
Thanks. I guess that helps a lot. If my ex and I could just be reasonable, we can settle this quickly.
Well, good luck to you, and thank you for your call.
Yes, thank you.
We actually don't think too much about this type of thing unless we're actually involved in this type of situation. But I remember once when my son was young, we had a young man who had clearly his parents used to bring him to baseball. And then sometimes there'd be a different man, and then sometimes there'd be a different woman. Eventually, I realized, okay, he has two parents. He had a brother and a sister, one from each of his parents, and it was hard to tell. It took me about 2 years to figure out who his actual biological mother was and his biological father. So this was a parenting plan that worked extremely well. I don't know if they had the assistance of mediation or whether they were just people who got along very well. So we have time for one more caller. Go ahead. And we have a caller on the line. And Jackie is our caller.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question for Brianne. I've been in a serious relationship for some time now, and I feel that it's time for my son to meet my new boyfriend. When is the best time for my son to be introduced to my new boyfriend so that they can be comfortable around each other and that way it's not awkward?
This can be one of the most difficult issues to discuss. Clarifying guidelines that will ensure the child comfort level and both parents' ability to behave in a respectful manner is very important. Most children are very loyal to their family of origin and need a considerable period of adjustment to the separation and the new parenting arrangements before they will accept the involvement of a new partner. That's usually about 1 year. If someone is introduced before the child is ready, the chances of a second relationship succeeding are greatly reduced. Parents, especially the person who chose to separate, are usually ready before the child is, before they're ready to accept the new person. Also, it's important to be sure the relationship will be a permanent one before involving the children, as children will not bond to a series of new partners. In your parenting plan, it's important that you discuss with your ex-partner when and how new partners will be introduced to the children and when new partners can be present when the other parent is present. Having these guidelines will minimize conflict and stress for children.
Thank you, Brianne. I really appreciate your insight, and it really gives me something to think about. I'll definitely consider what you have mentioned.
So thank you, Jackie, for your call, and again, Brianne, thank you for responding to her. I hope that these discussions for our callers and our audience have been very helpful. As our time to close is drawing near, I'd like to thank Brianne and Caitlin once again for agreeing to share the knowledge of family mediation and the importance of effective parenting plans.
Audrey, thank you very much for having me. I hope I was able to address some of the concerns and questions recently divorced parents of children may be having.
Yes, thank you, Audrey. I hope I was able to provide your listeners with a better understanding of the role of a family mediator and the best beneficial techniques to keep in mind when dividing holidays and vacation times with ex-partners.
Well, thank you, everyone. We're just about to end our show. As usual, we're going to end with a little bit of music, but I just want to let you know that you've really opened my eyes to the need for civilized communication at a very difficult time and how critical it is to keep the best interests of the child foremost in our mind. You can find a transcript of today's show and information on where to find Brianne and Caitlin, as well as other qualified mediators on our website. Again, thank you to our callers, our mediators, and all of our listeners. We leave you this week with some music to reflect on, Reba McEntire and Kenny Chesney, and Every Other Weekend.
Every other Friday, it's toys and clothes and backpacks. Is everybody in okay? Let's go see the heck. Same time in the same spot, corner of the same old parking lot. Hands and hugs and kisses, they are always back. We trade a couple words and looks and kiss again.
Every other weekend, I can't tell.